Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Sports Talk Saturday. And on the Western Hotline, it is The Bone. Paul Hamilton joining us here as the Sabres are ending their season in frantic fashion with four games in the next 6 days here, Paul?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Every other day, basically, except these two coming up today and tomorrow.
Coming up today, tomorrow, and Paul, one of the things that actually fascinates me about this is, well, first of all, hang on. How you doing, Paul? I mean, this season has been, it's been a toughie, but, you know, I want to check in on my guys, and you are absolutely one of those guys, Paul, and everything that's going on, but how are you hanging over here?
Oh, it's great. I cover hockey for a living. I
mean, there you
go. It doesn't matter if it's good hockey, bad hockey. It doesn't matter. I cover hockey for a living, so... that's my job. Doesn't matter if they win or lose. I'm here to cover it either way.
Well, win or lose, the Sabres actually stopped winning. They have their five-game losing streak end at the hands of Columbus. And it's an unfortunate one because I did like what I was seeing from a lot of players here. And one of those players that was ending the season pretty hot had a bad turnover at the end of the first period there as Benson made an ill-advised pass. And I love what you said. Recapping that goal, Paul, where maybe the slowest skater in the National Hockey League in James Van Riemsdyk. I got a good laugh out of that one.
Yeah, and you have to – it's time and place. Mm-hmm. If it's a tie game, I don't necessarily mind him trying to find Thompson down the middle and see if he get one more opportunity. You're up two goals. You're up 2-0. There's about 15 seconds left when he did this or so. And you don't have to force something to a guy who has the opponent all around him. And the pass wasn't great. It got to his stick, but it was probably closer to his skates than his stick. And he had to kind of, you know, pull his arms in to get it. Kind of got it. And then Werenski knocked the puck off his stick and off they went. Van Riemsdyk absolutely is probably the slowest skater in the league. But you know, he's also smart. And I think he could see what was coming. So he took off, and Bernard Docker did not know he took off, and there he was. He had a breakaway, and you score with 9 seconds left in the period, and now instead of a 2-0 lead, you have a 2-1 lead, and you've given them life. So it's time and place. Get the puck in deep. You know, just get it in mm-hmm. deep. Let the horn sound. Let's go to the locker room up 2-0. That's if you're Zach Benson, that's what you got to be thinking there.
And also, though, like with – it was a bad play, one that really does shift the dynamic of that game. But I really have liked what I've seen from him as a good fit with Yuri Kulik and Tage Thompson, and they've not really changed that lineup at all in recent weeks because of the fact that Benson is kind of that perfect go find the puck, get the puck, free it up, and find these talented shooters.
Yeah, isn't it weird that here's Tage Thompson on a great streak, and he's playing with a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old? I mean, who would have thought that? But they're both, you know, playing very well. They make mistakes, yes. I mean, Zach Benson very often does make the right play, but just unfortunately for him, that one he didn't. And it's been a very good line for them. I think Tage Thompson has enjoyed playing on the line with them. So it hasn't been one of those things that the two young guys are really screwing it up or whatever. They all three of them make mistakes at time. You know, Tage Thompson in the second period made a really dumb play, a drop pass that wound up going a 2-on-1 the other way, and Bo Byram played it perfectly to break it up. And that's kind of why this team has done better in the last couple of months, is because they're there for each other. You know, they it's not only just the scrums. They've all been there for the scrums. You know, they've learned their lesson there. But it's a play like that where, okay, a guy on my team made a mistake. I'm going to be there for him and help him out. You know, and it didn't happen on the Van Riemsdyk goal, but it did happen on that drop pass. And unfortunately, in that Columbus game, just a few things that we haven't seen in a long time crept into their game. You know, blew a two-goal lead and lost. Had every opportunity in the world to make it 3-0. Couldn't get it by the goaltender, who had a rough start. That was a real rough start for Jet Greaves. And then he gave up like 2 goals in like 2:45. The first one absolutely can't go in the net by Paterka. And then he just slammed the door. Stopped 33 shots, all 33 shots in the last 40 minutes. Hey, stopped Paterka on a breakaway. Had guys in front. Kulik did hit, Paterka did hit a post. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Kulik. Hit a post on a power play. So they had those opportunities, but you look at the goals in the third period. I mean, you know, the one that tied the game, Paterka, just a sloppy play on the wall, throws it across ice in his own zone. Well, picked off at the blue line, screen in front, in your net. The problem, which hasn't been happening lately, but they had this problem consistently. Give the other team momentum, they score a goal, and go to the penalty box within a minute. Every time. So let's let them score another one. Now let's let the other team's fans blow the roof off the place, and you're going to lose the game. Well, that's what happened in this one. Lafferty takes a penalty very quickly after the game is tied. And, next thing you know, Byram just tries to rim the puck around the wall, doesn't get it out, had a great opportunity to get out. He wasn't pressured. And, Jenner goes to the net. People get there too late, in your net, lose the game. I mean, it's as simple as that. And these are the things that they had gotten over and done much, much better on the last couple of months when they started playing the right way and started playing the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play. And for one game, it snuck into their game. And, you know, that to me, one game's not a big deal. It's how do you respond to that one game? Do you get back to playing a full 60 minutes the way you have been doing for the last month, month and a half, 2 months, however long you want to say? And they did that in the Philadelphia after the Philadelphia game. They did that after the Detroit game. Both those games were not good games at all, but they came right back and started playing well again. So, you know, we'll see if that's going to be their MO in this game also.
Paul, when it comes down to it, you mentioned how are you going to end up responding. I do find something genuinely fascinating about their end of season schedule. They have an active role in the Atlantic Division crown. They play Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto in succession here. And Toronto's got 2 points up on Tampa Bay for first place in the Atlantic Division. This could be interesting. And also, if Florida were to lose their last three and Ottawa wins out to end their season, Toronto in the first round getting Florida despite getting the first place in the Atlantic, that'd be a cruel punishment.
Well, it's obviously what Florida wants because they're they're not playing their guys.
Yep.
I mean, they're Reinhart's resting again today. It's the second game he's rested in. Vanacek will be in goal. Barkov's not playing. Second game he's rested in. They're resting players, kind of like the NFL, you know, at the end of the year when they're resting players. And then teams that need those teams to win get all mad because it ruins their playoff chances. And, you know, so, but I think Florida would be just fine playing Toronto over Tampa Bay. But doesn't look like they're going to get their wish, but we'll see.
We'll see, because also the Sabres do play against Toronto and have a chance to mess things up. They also play against Tampa Bay. So the Sabres do have kind of an active role here with the top three of the Eastern, not just the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division, excuse me, and how 1, 2, and 3 might shake out here, including with Florida tonight. You mentioned no Barkov, no Reinhardt, no Kachuk. Vanacek's in net. It's going to be one of those kinds of games. But the Sabres also have lost those kinds of games this season.
And they still haven't gotten, you know, one of their better defensemen back, too, who got suspended. For taking something that was in, he took responsibility. He goes, it's his job to know what is in the supplements or the things that he takes. And he did take it. He trusted the person who, you know, prescribed it to him or gave it to him, whatever it was. And he tested positive, and he had to take responsibility for that. And he's going to miss, I think, a couple of playoff games before he's able to come back. But, you know, that's what these athletes have to learn, that you can't just trust everybody. You got to know what you're putting into your body, or something like this can happen to you.
Paul, one of the things I've been saying now every week as the season is drawing to a close is, give me things to hold on to for the next season or into the off season when work does have to be done. I mentioned Benson being one of those things that I can hold on to. One of the things I don't know what I can hold on to is what the heck is going to happen with the goaltending situation with this team. Reimer is the one playing well down the stretch here, and Luukkonen has, in every opportunity as of late, just not looked any sort of stable or comfortable in the net. And if fans hear that they are going to march the same three players in Reimer, Levi, and Luukkonen back in net, there might be people willing to say something about this is managerial malpractice.
If Kevin Adams stays, they absolutely will. There's not any question at all. He's not going to give up on two young goalies, nor should he. I mean, I think you're ignoring what Luukkonen did in the last 35 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you just judge him on – and he had some good games this year. It wasn't all bad. But there were times where he would get in this rut, which rut he's in now, where he just couldn't make a save, couldn't make the big save we needed. And that was the biggest thing I liked about him last year, when his numbers in the last 35 games were right in the top of the league, is he would make the big save at the big time. You know, when you needed a save, he made it. And that's, especially since February, has really been what's missing in his game. And then I'm sure, you know, he's lost confidence in himself because the head coach has lost confidence in him. You know, the head coach only plays him in back-to-back, so he'll play one of these two, probably today or tomorrow, and that might end his season. We'll see. And you know, and Lindy Ruff was pretty staunch about that. He goes, I'm not here developing players. I'm here trying to teach this team how to play the right way on a consistent basis. And he feels, you know, which means he's going to put the goaltender in net, which he feels is going to give them the best chance to win, which is James Reimer. And, you know, they basically had been winning. He, until this last game, he had won 7 in a row in his last 7 games playing. And, you know, Luukkonen has had to wait his turn. And I get that. You know, I might have just kept playing Luukkonen to try to get him out of this, but he's got work to do in the offseason. One thing I will tell you is he's not afraid of hard work and, you know, has put hard work into his game. You know, when he played so well last year, it was in the off season that he played so well. And he does have a different goalie coach that he goes home to in the summertime, who maybe can help him shake some of this, you know, and you know, get back to where he was. I mean, we have seen him do it, but it's a shame because at the end of last year, it looked like they had their goalie. He played like a number one goalie, looked like he had he had taken the job, and it was his job. And Kevin Adams, for whatever reason, has twice tried to give the starting job to Levi, and it happened again this year. Instead of taking the guy who earned the spot, they alternated to start this year, Levi and Luukkonen. Why? What has Levi done to earn that? Nothing. Other than the GM wants him to be the goaltender. And it blew up in their face, and then now they did the right thing with Levi. This is the correct development. Get him down there for the year. This is his team. He's an AHL All-Star. Now he can start trying to take them through the playoffs. And, you know, now what kind of goaltender will he be in the in training camp? You know, and, you know, a guy who is probably arguably the best college goaltender that's ever lived, now has been an AHL All-Star. All that should tell us that he's going to be a good goalie in the NHL. But, you know, now that he's had that development, can he bring that to the NHL? Question mark, question mark. Can Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen go home, figure it out, get with his goalie coach at home, and, you know, really work hard to get his game back? A lot of what-ifs here. Do you say to James Reimer, who loves playing here, he really does, he likes his team, he likes the players, and he had said that before he started playing all these games, would he be willing to sign a contract, and knowing that they have two young goaltenders that they're going to try to get through training camp and figure out, is one, are one or both of them going to be able to grab this job, and tell them, look, if they do, we will do you a solid, and we will find you a place to play. You know, we'll waive you, we'll try to trade you, we'll try to find you a place to play. But, you know, he's going to be 38 next year. So do you want your goaltender to be 38? Well, sure, if he's going to play like he's played in the last, you know, X amount of games, sure. But can he? Will he? Can he handle the load of an NHL season as the number one goalie at age 38? You know, so the thing is a mess right now. But if you're thinking that he's going to get rid of one of those two youngsters, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Unless he's no longer the general manager, which I don't believe is going to happen. I think he will be.
Paul, to put an end to this chapter, this season, is there anything specific you're looking for in this final week as we approach locker cleanout? Or is it kind of all been said and they're just ready to move on to the offseason? Is there anything you're waiting to stand out in this final week? Just, you know.
I think tonight is kind of big. How do you respond to where you played pretty well in times against Columbus, but some things that lose you hockey games you let creep in? Those haven't crept in a while, and that's fine. Teams aren't going to play 82 fantastic games. So I'm not concerned that that happened. What I want to know is, are they going to get back to playing the way they're capable of playing and have been playing in the next game, which, as I mentioned, they did do after the Philadelphia game, which they did do after the Toronto or Detroit game. They lost a couple of others in there, but they weren't losses. They were losses that were right there for them in Minnesota and Utah. You know, the Utah one, it was just because nobody told Tage Thompson that there was a penalty so he could give Utah the puck and have a 6-on-4 in a 3-2 game. Instead, he tried to pass the puck back, and they got bad luck, and it wound up in their net. And that has nothing really to do with anything. It was the fact that nobody on the ice let Tage Thompson know what's going on. And, you know, so that was a game that was right there for him. The Minnesota game, they played 51 fantastic minutes and played 8 horrible minutes and got behind 3-0 in those 8 horrible minutes. So both those games were there for them. To win, you know, so I'm not as concerned at those two as I was the Philadelphia and the Detroit, but I thought they bounced back pretty well. So I just want to see more of what I have been seeing for the last month and a half or 2 months, knowing that it's very difficult to carry over from one season to the next because the team that you end up with this year is not the team that you're going to go on the ice with in October. But what I can tell you is, if you watch just the way they play, they're having fun playing the game, and they're having fun when teammates do well. And that's important, to have fun. I mean, that's what this is all about. You're here to have fun, and if you have fun, you have a better chance to win hockey games if you're feeling good about yourselves. But why are they having fun? Because they finally realize that when they play the game the right way, it's fun. Well, why is it fun? Because you win hockey games. They're good enough to win hockey games if they play the game the right way, which way they, for the most part, they have been doing lately. So maybe if they can, in October, remember that feeling that they've had for their whole careers as Sabres, that horrible feeling that rolls in around Christmas time because you know you're out of it, And it's just you have to drag yourself to the rink, and it's no fun anymore, and you have people criticizing you and people booing you and the whole thing. And then remember the end of the year for 2 months where you played the game the right way and figured out that hockey can be fun again if you do it the right way because you can win. Then maybe they can pull that out and figure out right away that we need to start the season well and just play that way. And I'll tell you right now, and you know I don't make predictions, if they play next year for the most part the way they've played the last month and a half, 2 months, which is the right way and the way Lindybruff wants them to, I will guarantee you they will make the playoffs next year. There's no way they won't. They're good enough to do it, to make the playoffs, if they decide they want to play a full season like they've played the last month and a half or so.
Paul, it is wild when you look at it. Those two losing streaks that the Sabres have incurred, 13 and then 6 to start the month of March. It's a quarter of your season in lengthy losing streaks almost at 19 games combined. But otherwise, they've been, like you said, a team that they can do this, and they've shown that they could do it. And compared to last year, they've done a lot better of bouncing back from bad losses or putting wins together, something that a trait last year's team could not do for the life of them.
Well, you know, don't forget, before the winless streak started, the 13 games, the Sabres were in third place in the division, not the conference, the division, and I believe we're 2 points out of second place in those 21 games. And then the 13 game hit. Since then, and that does not count the Columbus game, I wrote this before the Columbus game, they were 13th in the NHL percentage points at 581. That's in 43 games. That would have them in the Eastern Conference's second wild card position, ahead of Florida and ahead of the Devils. So it just shows what a small portion of the season did to them. You know, if you take that, that's 64 games before the Columbus game where they played like a playoff team and would have been a playoff team, and 13 where they played like they didn't even know what hockey was. And in less than 4 weeks, they took them. They ruined their season and took them out of it. But for 64 games this year, this team has played like a playoff team. It boggles my mind to think that 13 games meant more than the 64 where they would be in playoff position in those 64.
And that 64 games, Paul, that also includes a six-game losing streak where they got only one point. So it's just one of those things where, like, you see it. They can do it. And be it luck or I don't know what to call it anymore, it just has not been able to happen for them. But for the most part, it is going to be one of those where you can look at this season and go, this might have been one of those lost seasons kind of like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and the one thing they have shown is they can score goals. I mean, last I looked, were up to seventh in the league in goal scoring. But it was the defending for most of the year that just absolutely killed them. And they got better at defending for the last month or month and a half, but it was too late. It all came too late, and they know it, and you know, that's the thing that they got to see. They're still seventh, 3.26 goals per game, which is ahead of Toronto, which is ahead of Edmonton, which is ahead of Florida. You know, they score more goals than those teams. But when you're giving up goals and you're 29th in the league in goals against, that's what happens to you. I mean, you just... But and in the little streak where they've won a lot of games in the last month and a half, they lead the league in scoring. So, I mean, scoring is not their problem. It's defending at the right time. It's when you're in front of the net with a guy standing next to you, you tie him up. You don't just stand next to him and watch him score a goal and then go, oh, wait a minute, I should have covered him, type of a thing. Or their puck management, which was horrendous until they decided that they wanted to improve on that. And then when the puck management wasn't good, they got big saves from James Reimer, who would make the big save for them. And that's what I talk about. For me, the come-to-Jesus moment was when Thompson got hit. I mean, they had to meet about it and talked about it, and some hard things were said by Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams and players, And ever since then, they've been there for each other. And whether it's in scrums, whether it's helping each other out when mistakes are made, covering up for each other. All right, this guy made a mistake. Let's not sit there and go, oh, come on, be better or something like that. Do that later. Get back, hustle back, and try to help him out. Or get a big save from your goaltender. Or if your goaltender lets in the odd bad goal, go get a goal back for him. The Washington game, I bring it up a lot. You know, where Ovechkin scores, and then they score right away again on the power play, and now it's 6-5 Sabres, and they're blowing the roof off the place because they thought Ovechkin scored again, but the puck was actually deflected. That game was a loss 10 times out of 10 earlier in the season. They would have crumbled. They would have sat back. They would have panicked. No. They went out and scored a goal fairly quickly to make it 7-5. You know, they didn't panic. They didn't sit there and go, all right, they just scored two goals on us. We're toast. They went out and did something about it, and that's what you have to do. You have to, you know, understand that the other team is going to get a little momentum from time to time. You can't panic. You got to do something about it. And in that game, every time the Capitals tried to get back into it, the Sabres responded and wound up with 8 goals against a team that hadn't given up more than 5 all year and was the best team in the National Hockey League. So, I mean, again, it just shows that they can play good teams. The Capitals right now are second in the NHL at a .699 points percentage, and Winnipeg's at .709. At the time, both were over .700. So, you know, that game right there showed me what progress they're making. But can they carry that progress into October? We're not going to know till October rolls around.
We'll see what happens here, Paul. But we appreciate your work along the way, and can't wait to hear more from you with Brian tonight as they take on the Florida Panthers.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks as always, Paul. That's Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline. A lot of good insights there about, you know, the insight into a locker room a little bit too, of or on the ice with the camaraderie and everything like that. I do like that insight that he was bringing there.
Yeah, well, you can see it too. Like, just the way they're playing, like he said, there's a clear difference from when Thompson got nailed and nobody did anything about it.
Yep.
To
now I'm seeing JJ and Jack Quinn throw their gloves off getting into scrums.
Exactly.
I'm seeing players that typically would have no business getting into the mixer having fun. Well, not fun. It's definitely,
if a finger's landed,
it's definitely
on
a lot of anger and swearing going on
right,
in those. But
right.
But you know, it looks like they're becoming a team in that sense, and that's something Rasmus Dahlin said in the media, and everyone's like, okay, we're kind of picking up what you're putting down now.
Yeah,
and
it's more camaraderie on all aspects of the
team.
And
like that Detroit game, it was, yeah, you lost 7-3, but you also did not let them push you around in addition to the scoreboard. That's where I'm like, okay, there's something to hold on to here.
Right.
And that's one of the things. Paul's talking about it at length there. That's one of the things I'm holding on to.
Yeah. And I agree with him. If they play like this, they are a playoff team next season.
And ready?
You can't go on that slide. That's the
sickening part about it is if they don't go on the 6-game slide either, they're not eliminated yet.
Yeah, exactly. So March killed them just as much as November did or whatever that was.
March kind of killed them. What it did was it put the last nail in the coffin of, okay, no, we're not actually coming back from this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't lose 6 in a row, they're probably still not making it, but they're not eliminated yet. Because you're not winning all 6 of those, let's be real. And the Sabres are in the 80-point range. You're alive. You're praying for Montreal to lose out. But also, in that 6-game losing streak, is a pair of losses to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually would have been doing yourselves and the league a favor.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. And I kind of want to go around the NHL and get your take on what are going to be the most interesting playoff matchups coming up, because the Sabres have a lot to say about the Eastern Conference and the Atlantic Division race within their last 4 games and how things might shape up here. It'll be interesting, and we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
for Zy Alexander, maybe early day three, I think I could see something like that. I think if you double dip or if you miss out on your dude, he's somebody who I think brings a very high floor. I don't necessarily know if the lack of athletic traits is going to limit the ceiling, but Azarite Thomas is someone who I think that 30, if you don't have things go the way you want to go or in the second round, I think the Bills could, especially if they're going to lean into more man principles, if they're going to lean into more press in 2025.
That was a conversation last week with Bruce Nolan. Talking about the cornerbacks, a guy in day three that people could be looking at is LSU's Zy Alexander for a corner on the outside for you. That's nice.
I like the cornerback idea. I do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are gravitating toward that, as that is looking like the Bills' biggest need in the moment, and also how deep the defensive tackles are in the draft class, that it doesn't look like that's going to be necessarily one of those, like, we need to have that right away. So you could put that off a little bit. So
I still like Kenneth Grant, though, I will say that.
Yes.
I still like Kenneth Grant.
A little bit shorter segment here because we went long with Paul Hamilton there. I like talking to Paul, so that's why I went long on the segment. I don't care. Sue me.
What was his nickname?
The Bone.
The Bone.
Yes. But always appreciate being able to talk to Paul. Now, the Buffalo Sabres have an active role in the playoff race for the Atlantic Division. Genuinely interesting. And, you know, when I asked Paul about it, it does look like Florida's trying to find their way to wiggle down into that wild card spot so they can match up with Toronto again rather than Tampa. And I think it's based on play style. They know that they can bully the Leafs around. Or at least that's what they think they can do. That said, Tampa's still only 2 points off of Toronto. The Leafs do have a game in hand. But the Sabres play each of these teams. My fascination with the Toronto matchup is it's at home. The Sabres are red hot at home.
They are. For the first time in a while.
First time in a while. We're talking legitimately years.
They normally play the best on the road.
Yes.
So it's nice to see them putting on a show at KeyBank Center.
Whereas this year, it has been road Sabres has been the problem. They face Florida on the road. They face Tampa on the road. So say the road woes continue and they lose at least one of these games. Well, Florida, I think it's too little too late. And I also think that this is a very beatable Florida Panthers lineup because you beat them without Tkachuk already this year. They're without Tkachuk, Barkov, and Reinhardt and Ekblad for this game.
Yep.
That's winnable, the way the Sabres are playing.
Very much so.
Should be.
Let's not. Yeah, you're right. Can't jump. Say it is winnable.
Right.
Should be.
Like, it's winnable. It should be. The thing is that the Sabres still could force a Toronto-Florida first-round matchup because, say you beat the Leafs at home, you lose to Tampa on the road. Toronto doesn't get their game-in-hand advantage, and they now have to at least find a way to separate from Tampa Bay. Because then they would be tied based on those results.
Right.
Toronto does have a game in hand, so they still would be able to exercise that. I do find it very interesting, though, that the Sabres have such a role to play within the division and how it's going to shape up the first-round matchups.
Yeah, even though they're not going to actively be in it, they're active.
If I'm a Toronto fan, yeah, I'm trying to do everything I can to face little brother in Ottawa. I could beat the Senators. Can I beat the Panthers? I don't know.
I'm not sure about that either.
Exactly. Toronto and Tampa is not a matchup that's viable at this point. Like, mathematically, it's near impossible to pull off. Toronto would have to go sliding into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida would have to, like, win out for Toronto to have to face Tampa in the first round. That's the only way it happens. So Toronto would be losing four straight. And then, oh, hey, you get the Lightning for your sins because the Florida Panthers, for some reason, won out. That's not happening, especially with how they're working their roster right now. It's not happening.
No, there's no shot.
No shot at that happening. So Toronto-Tampa is not going to be a first-round matchup. That could be a second-round matchup if things go chalk. Yeah, if I'm a Leafs fan, I definitely want to be facing the Senators, though, before I'm even looking at Florida. And it has to just do with quality of roster overall. The Sens also, they've been okay. They're solid in their last 10 games, but they're not doing anything incredible.
No, they're not, you know, they're not doing anything spectacular, but they're still there. Like, you can't really scoff at them in any way, you know?
Yes, and the thing
they're not changing they're not reinventing the wheel, if you will, but they're still a force.
But the thing is that, like, how the Sabres are bad on the road, Ottawa's not that much better. They're a 500 team on the road.
Yeah.
They're great at home this year.
Can you imagine Dylan Cousins makes the playoffs?
Well, he is making the playoffs. Ottawa has clinched.
Yeah.
Jeff Skinner has made the playoffs for the first time in his career.
Yeah, Jeff.
Good for you.
Wonder if they'll bring back the...
As Edmonton officially clinched their spot last night.
The limited time chicken dinner.
And, him with Ottawa is actually really good. That's a good first round matchup between the Oilers and the Kings.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I like that matchup a lot, actually. And so let's look at the matchups real quick.
Okay.
Out in the West, you're going to get Winnipeg against either the Wild or the Blues.
Okay.
Whoever ends up coming out on top on this. Both of them, 80 games played, 43 wins in regulation, 93 points. Identical records.
Yeah. You're getting the same product either way, I feel like. There's not much what you get better versus not, I feel like, between those two teams, you know?
But the Blues, carried by a 9-game win streak recently.
So they're hot.
Helped them out. They've lost their last two after that, but a 9-game win streak propelled them into the playoffs.
So they were hot.
Calgary is still alive. They're at 90 points. They have a game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Wild or the Blues have problems closing out the season, Calgary can take a playoff spot away. Winnipeg's getting the worst of whoever it is.
Yeah.
Dallas, Colorado. That's a juicy matchup.
That'll be a good game.
That's a great series.
Good series. Forget. Not just a game.
But I do think, though, that Dallas has a big advantage in net as opposed to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be something there to that.
Is it that big of a difference?
I mean, Jake Oettinger is one
of those. As a casual hockey fan, yeah. I'm just asking.
No, like, Jake Oettinger is absolutely that guy. I think that Dallas has that advantage because of Oettinger in net. But Colorado has gotten better goaltending since they moved on from Georgiev to Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood. So it's gotten better.
But it's still heavy in the other direction.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still probably looking over at Jake Oettinger and saying, you're probably more reliable in a 7-game series. The Kings and Oilers is a great matchup. They've squared off a couple times in the playoffs over these past few years.
Mm-hmm.
LA's particularly stingy. They're one of the best teams in the league when it comes to goals against. Second in the league. Second to Winnipeg.
The Jets.
But that's also, hey, here's the buzzsaw known as the Edmonton Oilers. McDavid, Draisaitl, and company. All right, have fun.
Yeah.
Vegas will face either the Wild, Blues, or Flames, whichever one ends up finishing better, so likely Minnesota or St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate that for whoever ends up running into Vegas.
Vegas is a force.
The Wild, though, against Vegas would be a spicy one.
You think?
Yes. The Wild took them to 7 a couple of years ago.
That's right.
And they are very fascinating because now they've got Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek back. And that is a scary duo to have come back into your season. Also, oh man, it would be great to not have your season totally collapse when your best player is out of the lineup.
Yeah. That'd be good. That'd be fun. That's preferable.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the East. Obviously, we're talking about the shuffle that is happening in the Atlantic. Say things go chalk, though. Toronto would take on Ottawa. Tampa Bay would face Florida. I would easily be picking the Lightning against the Panthers. I would not be picking the Leafs against the Panthers, though. I think Tampa's back.
No, you don't take the Maple Leafs ever in the first series.
I'm taking the Leafs over Ottawa.
If they play Ottawa?
Yes.
Well, 1,000%. I mean, you said Ottawa is very Sabres-y on the road. And
it's not even that. I just don't think Ottawa's there yet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They got a little couple more years of development to figure out? Or
yes.
How far out are they, you think, from that? Because the Leafs, I feel like,
they're a year away.
If the Leafs are in the first series, first round, you almost it's a lock to bet against them because they don't make it out.
That said, if they lose to Ottawa next, in the first round.
Yeah.
There are players there that are there that will not be there in the next year.
Yeah.
Marner's definitely out at that point. I think he's out either way. I think he's going to get paid in free agency. Come to Buffalo.
Come meet your hero, Josh Allen.
Be your hero, Josh Allen.
Be your hero for the hockey team.
Yes, exactly.
Be the same guy.
Be that guy. Literally be him.
Mm-hmm. That'd be wild.
In the Metro, it's pretty set. Washington will face Montreal. Good luck, Canadiens. Even though the underlying numbers don't love Washington, they can handle Montreal. Come on. It's the abs. They're only there because of a bag of magic pixie dust.
Yeah.
And they're PDO merchants. They're getting Sam Montabeau to bail them out.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Why Montreal?
So there's okay.
And then there's the Devils and Hurricanes. That one's locked in.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very fun first round. I think Carolina obviously would take that one against Jersey.
I agree, but they're going to make it competitive.
They're not, yeah.
They're not going to go down without a fight.
But Carolina's downright dominant at home.
Yeah.
They've lost only 9 times on their home ice.
Carolina's currently on a 4-game slide as well, but they might be resting at this point because they've clinched everything, right?
Yes, but Carolina's also one of only 2 teams to lose less than 10 games at home this year. LA's the other.
Oh, okay, so they're dominant.
And they are the higher seed.
Yeah.
So they would, in a 7-game series, have home ice advantage.
Yep.
I don't like that if I'm New Jersey, even though they're the better road team than they are at home.
Mm-hmm. But still, I think that Carolina's dominance at home trumps their road ability.
Yes.
So I think Carolina would take that,
but
too. That would be an entertaining game, though. That might be one to watch.
But these are all good matchups, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And however it shakes out at the bottom in the Western Conference, as well as how the top of the Atlantic goes down, is going to determine what the rest of the playoff seating looks like from there.
My least
favorite. Can't wait for playoff hockey, baby.
Yeah, I know.
I wish my team was in it, but it's still fun to watch no matter what.
Hey, they'll get there. And honestly, least favorite matchup coming up, Toronto. I do, that game is one I will not watch.
No, I will glue my eyes to Toronto, Ottawa, or Toronto, Florida.
Why, just to see if Toronto lose? If
yes.
Florida's in, Toronto's out. There's no question about it.
But still, it's going to be how. Yeah. Context matters here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically the Leafs lose in 7.
Yeah, they do take it. You're right. It's not just 3 games you're out.
No.
It's all 7.
Typically in the first round, if they've lost, it's in 7. Very rarely does it not. So it's like traumatic in the worst ways possible. All right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll shuffle over to the draft. We got our Sills and In-N-Out segment coming up next here, though, first in Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. This is WGR.
He just turned my mic off completely, played music, and went right back to the break because we got to go.